All set. All right. Well, it's great to be with you again here tonight. And if you haven't had a chance to, weren't here last week or didn't have a chance to be with or here before when I've been around, my name is Isaac Denton, and I'm one of the pastors up at Central Baptist Church in Yorkshire, and met Jonathan Colby there through college. We became friends. We were in the dorm together, things like that. And then when we both moved back to this relative area, we reconnected again. And so it's been a joy to be able to come down and share God's word with you. And certainly we as a family and as a church leadership have been praying for Jonathan and his health and just wanting to support you guys and just along a tough road. And so glad to be able to come and bring God's word here again tonight. And last week, we started into a little bit of a two-part series that I'm calling The Greatest King. And it's in conjunction with the series we're doing at our church that we're calling The Greatest King, going over the 4 weeks here of this Christmas season. And so I get a chance to speak here one of those times in our morning service. And we're going through a four-week series that we've titled the same thing, The Greatest King. And with this idea and realization that at the time that Jesus was born, there was another king that was seeking to be known as the greatest man, the greatest person, and that was Herod the Great. So we're comparing and contrasting. And last week I talked about and showed a video from some time we spent in Israel earlier this year of Caesarea by the Sea. And this was a place that Herod built and had a hippodrome, which was a place that seated 10,000 people for the games that they had going on there. And then there's this amazing amphitheater that would seat 4,000 people that's still there today, and there's still shows and plays and things that go on there, as well as there's this incredible aqueduct system that Herod had built to bring fresh water down from Mount Carmel, which is 7 miles away, and the science and math to be able to get that water to flow all the way down to Caesarea is an incredible feat. And all of these things Herod was doing to make himself great, to make his fame the best thing of the day. And he sought and sought and sought to win favor with various leaders, and that's why he even called Caesarea by the Sea. It was to gain favor with Caesar. And in all these things, he wanted to be known as the greatest. And then we contrast that to Jesus as he comes on the scene at Christmas time, and we think of his humble birth. And last week I talked from the book of Matthew and talked about how Jesus and his name itself has this meaning of God saves. That Jesus came to this earth with a purpose. His name is not just a name, but it's a name with a purpose, and that is that God saves, that he brought salvation to this world in the form of Jesus coming. And we sang a song at our church this morning called Adore. And some of the words of that song say, "You stepped down from heaven, humbly you came." And it's this idea and recognition that Jesus came and took on flesh. And we'll talk about that more in just a few minutes. And so today's message, I wanted to call The King of Glory. As we think about the greatest king, Jesus is the King of Glory. And tonight, I want us to look at a section of Scripture that, in a way, may be very familiar. And when you think of the Christmas story, this is the chunk of it here in Luke 2. And you can begin turning there with me if you want to. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 tonight. But they call this the King of Glory. I want us to focus on the glory of God as he sends Jesus to this earth. And we're going to look at the glory as the angels announce the birth of Jesus, and the glory of the Lord shows around as the shepherds are just in awe of this. And then we see the response of those angels as they glorify and praise God. And then we see the response of the shepherds as they go and tell and are glorifying and praising God in all they do. So we're going to see the incredible glory that is found in Jesus as he came to this earth. And so I mentioned last week and that we had some time earlier this year where our lead pastor and myself and a group of about 12 from our church was able to travel over to Israel to be able to experience some of the places where Jesus was. And so tonight I wanted to be able to show another video from an area where we were, right where this account would have taken place. And on the day that we were there to shoot this video, it was raining. And so we stepped inside of this cave, and I'll give you a little forewarning that the video is a little dark, but we stepped inside of this cave, which was really neat in itself to think that this was the area where the shepherds, when they would encounter tough weather, would go inside to get out of the weather and would watch over their sheep there and take care of things there. And so that gave us a good glimpse there. But we know from this story that this is from the account, that night that the shepherds were out, they were out in the field keeping watch over their flock. So we'll get to the text here in just a minute. But to kind of give a picture of this area and what we're looking at, I would love for you to take a look at this video.
We're standing here in a cave where the shepherds likely would have gone when they were keeping watch over their flocks. And we hear about this in Luke 2, where it says, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" What a sight to be standing out in the open, right where all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes an angel with this message. You might do, but in this situation, the shepherds say, "Let's go." In Luke 2, 16 and 17, it says, "And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child." They go out and they start telling everyone. They want people to know of this incredible news. They've been told news from the angels, and they go, and it's just as the angels had told them it would be. They're glorifying God. They've witnessed something incredible. They've witnessed the birth of the one true king, and that king is Jesus. It would still be many years before everything plays out, but in this moment, they respond with worship at the incredible reality that Jesus Christ is born.
So we see that, I just got to tell you, it was incredible to stand in that place, to be in an area where these shepherds would have been. You see from the open fields there, and while we were there, there's still shepherds out keeping their sheep, keeping flocks, keeping watch over their animals. And to be in this place and just think on this passage, this text. And as we go through the text here tonight, a phrase or something that I want us to just hold on to is that being in awe of the greatest king leads to an awe-filled life. That we must never just read through this story at Christmas time and think, "Oh, that's great," or go like, "Oh yeah, it's the Christmas story." This is the account of what happened, the time and day when Jesus is born and the good news of the gospel is given. And it's so, so exciting and something that we can just focus on all the time and all year long and in all the time. So what I want us to do is follow along with me in Luke chapter 2, and I'm reading from the ESV, and I want to read verses 8 through 20 somewhere on the video, but I just want to read all the way down through the text here, starting in verse 8, and it says this: "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So we read this text, and you think about this moment. These shepherds are just going about their daily, or in this case, nightly life style rituals or practices, things that they're doing of just keeping watch over their sheep, guarding them, taking care, being responsible, living out their normal lives. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere comes this angel. And I mean, try to picture this with me for a minute. I mean, I know we live in a modern world where we have lighting and technology and things like that, and we understand or have this thought of bright lights. Maybe you've been in a dark room or something, and all of a sudden someone turns on a flashlight and it's, whoa, or you're driving at night and a car has its brights on or whatever, and you're just this glaring light right in your face. And you got to think, and this time though, light was fire. A torch, or maybe they had a little, campfire going to sit around there this nighttime as they're watching over their sheep and keeping warm by and stuff. And that's it. And all of a sudden, an angel with this incredible brightness shows up with a message. And certainly, you look at the text here and it says they were filled with fear. In the NIV, it says they were terrified. There's this, I can't believe my eyes, and this startled, this feeling too, and I couldn't help but think about this week. I like to think I don't get startled very often, but this week, I was spending some time studying, working on this message, and I'm in my office, and I'm typing away, and so I had some headphones in too. I like to listen to a little music as I'm studying and just working and studying God's word. And so I'm just really, really focused in. I'm totally just in tune with what I'm working on. And I had some headphones in too because our lead pastor and I, our offices are right next to each other. And last week I was listening to some music one day, and there was a song that I liked. So I turned it up, real quick, whatever. And he calls my office phone real quick, and he says, "Hey, if I wanted to listen to music, I would have turned on my own," just poking fun at me a little bit. So I, knowing I wanted to listen to music and stuff, I had my headphones in. So I'm working. And all of a sudden, I got one headphone about halfway out, and just in case, and all of a sudden, I hear a voice, and I start to turn, and there's someone standing just a few feet away, and I was like, whoa, it was my wife. She had come to ask me a question. She was doing some work at the church and had a question for me. When I jumped back and I'm startled, she says, "Well, I knocked." And I said, "I didn't hear you." I was totally taken off guard and just my heart's racing and just had that startled moment. And I, as I'm studying this text, I couldn't help but think of that scenario and just think, if you're one of those shepherds out there, and all of a sudden this angel just shows up, and it's like, oh, and to think about when you read through scripture too, this is the proper response when an angelic being or the glory of God is shown throughout scripture. There is a reverent fear in a good way. So these shepherds have that and feel that, and that's the circumstance here. So the first thing the angel says is, "Do not fear." And then goes on to give the message then in verse 10, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." So I want to point out three pieces as we go along through this text here tonight. And the first one is the great news. The great news. And the greatest news, this when it says this good news of great joy, is that the greatest king has come. The greatest king coming is the greatest news. I mean, think about this. This is the beginning of the gospel. Look at this, and it says, "I bring you good news of great joy." This, in Greek here, the phrase here, good news, is this phrase of the gospel. This is the good news of the gospel, that Jesus Christ has come to the earth. And as you study theology, this is the incarnation. This is Jesus taking on human flesh, coming in the likeness of man. And Paul records how this goes about in Philippians chapter 2, where he says this, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." See, Paul says Jesus emptied himself, set aside his godness to take on human flesh, yet was still fully God. And it's an incredible piece of theology that just really ought to astonish us in so many ways, that he's fully God, yet fully man. There's a song that our kids, we've been playing for them, that kind of tries to talk through this concept, and it just, you know, kind of a little jingle of totally God, totally man. And just this understanding that Jesus comes to the earth still totally God, but totally man, and lived in sinless perfection to bring the gospel and salvation to all people. And that's what it says at the end of verse 10. "This is the good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Now, this isn't everyone's in. You know what? Just this is Jesus came and you're all in. And there are people out there who would say that. Jesus came to the earth and we're all good from there on out. And this is the reality of those who trust and follow Jesus Christ, both those who are Jews and Gentiles. And this is described a little further on. You go down in chapter 2, later here, verses 29 to 32. It says, "Lord," this is Simeon speaking here as Jesus is presented at the temple. And Simeon says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." That this is the glory to your people Israel, but this is revelation to the Gentiles, that there is a way to salvation through Jesus Christ. This is the beginning of the gospel. And this has to be such a delight in so many ways. And you get back to verse 11 and it says, "For unto you is born this day." And this, you know, this is the angel telling these shepherds, this is good news for you. Angels are angels and don't need Jesus to come to the earth to die for them. This is the good news of the gospel for you, for me. That Jesus comes to this world, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. This day. I mean, you think about birth announcements, and whether you see it on Facebook or you get a text or you get a phone call, and it's like, all right, exciting news. And it's like, this is the greatest birth announcement ever, forever. Jesus is born this day. And here's how it happened, just as it was prophesied in the city of David. And this is the city of David, where this is talking about Bethlehem, where David was born. If you were to Google or travel to Jerusalem, there's the area where David, when he ruled, is known as the city of David, right on the edge of Jerusalem. But this is about 6 or 7 miles away in Bethlehem, is where David was born. And this is where Jesus is born, in Bethlehem, just as it was prophesied. Jesus is born. So the shepherds hear this news.
And
you know, we think about how would you picture, like, you hear Jesus is born. This is the King of the world, the King of glory, the greatest King. Your shepherd, and I don't know, just normal person, you probably think, like, okay, that means, like, this is the best news. He's got to be in a palace somewhere. Like, if we're going to go see him, it's going to be elaborate. Like, dressed in the finest clothes, the robes, the maidservants, everybody around. This is, like, when people of royalty are born, this is what it looks like. There's, you know, this is what it is. And the angel says, not so much. Verse 12, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. There had to be some astonishment in a way. These guys, wait a minute. You just said the King of the world, the King of the universe, the King of all time, the greatest King was born. Now you're saying he's lying in a manger? With, like, really? A manger? A feeding trough? Like, really? This is the way that Jesus is brought into the world? And it's really so far beyond our imagination that it's only God. And I love the way Paul Tripp talks about this. He says, God became man. Deity took on humanity. Glory came to earth in common human form. If you or I had been writing the big redemptive story, we would never conceive something so amazing and miraculous as God actually coming on a rescue mission as a real human person. There's only one word that captures this one amazing history-altering event. Glory. Glory. That God would send Jesus to this earth in a manger. And in a way, these shepherds have to be puzzled and processing and thinking all of this through. But before they even can give it too much in-depth thought, it's like, boom, suddenly, verse 13, there's with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. So it goes from one angel, and undoubtedly they're standing there astonished, to a multitude. This is thousands upon thousands of angels all of a sudden in the sky singing together, glory to God in the highest. And this is the second piece that I want to call the great rejoicing. The great rejoicing. The angels come, they bring this message, they bring this worship, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. The fact that Jesus has come, he is due all glory, and he's here with the mission of bringing peace. And this is prophesied in Isaiah 9:6, where it says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus comes to bring true peace that's only found in a relationship with him. And the Apostle Paul later describes this in Romans 5 when he says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace that's brought, reconciliation that's brought through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it can be hard to fathom, to communicate, to understand that you're either with God or you're against God. I think too often people want to find this middle road almost of, like, yeah, I believe in Jesus, and I believe the message of the gospel, and I believe that, you know, Jesus came and all those things, but, like, I don't know to go all the way or follow him with my life, give up my life to follow him with all that I am. And want to find this sort of middle ground of, like, I'm accepted and trust and believe. And it's like, no, you're either with Jesus, believing and reconciled, or you're not. And this goes further in Romans 5, where Paul says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. Made right with God. And this is a message that we must be clear as we go out into the world and as we share the truth of Jesus Christ coming to this world to pay for our sins, that you're either a follower of Christ or you're not. And we have to be clear and firm in that and help people to understand that. And we see the shepherds take this and follow through on going after Jesus, pursuing him, seeing him, and taking the message forward. And that's the third piece of this, is the shepherd's great response. Verse 15, where it says, "The angels go away from them into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened.'" I don't know about you, but just trying to think through this scenario again. Imagine this is, you're one of the shepherds. You're out there just doing your job. And all this takes place. And you hear the angels say, Jesus Christ is born. The good news of great joy. Jesus has arrived. And then all of a sudden, the thousands upon thousands of angels come. And they're singing praises. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. They're bringing the message, telling the message of peace that Jesus has brought. And then, it's all gone. And if I'm one of the shepherds, I think I'd have this moment where it's like a movie scene. You slowly turn to the other shepherds like, did you see what I just saw? Like, this whole angel came, and then all these thousands of angels, and they were singing glory to God in the highest. Like, that was real, right? Like, you know, pinch each other. Like, this wasn't a dream, right? Like, this is for real. And then it wasn't like, what do we do with this? Do we got to keep this quiet? People are going to think we're a little crazy. Like, oh, those shepherds, like, they're out there just watching the sheep, like, you guys must be a little tired. You worn down? What's the deal? And they say, let's go. There's a belief and an understanding. And it seems, just let me point out something real quick, and that you might, we easily can gloss over. It says, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. This thing is just a small Greek word, rhema. But it has this understanding of a word or a reality. That these shepherds are like, this is it. This is Jesus. This is the real deal. We've got to go. We have to go see this. We have to go follow hard after seeing that this is Jesus that has come. In verse 16, they went with haste. They go. I think that's so fascinating to see those words and think about others throughout Scripture who follow hard after God. And it always says they go immediately. They follow hard. They pursue Jesus. And these shepherds want to follow and see this thing that has happened. And they find Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying. They start telling everybody. See, here's the thing. I think sometimes we love the Christmas story. We love the gospel. We love that we have assurance and salvation in Jesus Christ. But we have to ask the hard question of who are we telling? If we truly believe this is the greatest message in the world, this is the greatest news there ever is, this is the greatest news that has changed our lives, who are we praying for and investing in and sharing this message with? Because when we do, we come to verse 18, all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. When we share the message and the hope of Jesus Christ to the world around us, some may criticize, some may be skeptical, but many will ask more questions. And many will look at our lives and go, wow, that's different. What makes it different? You live for something more. Your life is not the here and now, like many who are like a Herod the Great that want to make themselves known, that want to pursue greatness, that want to be the highest, the fame, the this, the that, and work for something. It's this realization that people ask questions and realize that your life is different when you are pursuing Christ. And this is a theme that Luke carries out all throughout his book. As you go throughout chapter 2 here, you see it again and again down in verses 33 and 47 and 48. And then later in chapters 4 and 5 and 8 and 9 and 11, this wonder, this amazement at the work of Jesus, his desire to please God with his life. This is a theme that Luke continues to carry on. The wonder and amazement and awe of who God is, the work that he's done, and all the glory that goes to him. That's what Luke has a focus and an emphasis on as he communicates and walks down through this. And we see verses 19 and 20. Mary treasures up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds return, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. So the shepherds, they've got a job to do. They've got to head back to work. Somebody's got to watch the sheep. But their lives are forever changed. They go back glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. Tomorrow, many of us will head out into a job or into a community or just various avenues of life. And the question is, will our lives show that we're glorifying and praising God and finding true joy and satisfaction in Him? These shepherds glorify and praise God as one of the pieces of their great response. So as we think back through this section, we've seen how God gives the great news, there is great rejoicing, and there is a great response. And tonight, I want to ask a few questions for us to think about as we come to a close here in just a moment. And the one is, are we constantly in awe and wonder at the fact that God would send Jesus Christ to this earth to live a perfect life and ultimately to die for each and every one of us? As we read this text, and I would encourage you to read it over and over and over through this Christmas season and throughout the year, are we in awe of the fact that Jesus came for us? And then secondly, do we look forward to time with Him in His Word and prayer and constantly being in awe and praying and praising Him, reading and praying Scripture, just focusing on the greatness and all that He is in our life and are constantly in awe and wonder at how incredible He is? And we find our complete satisfaction in Him. Piper says it this way, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Are we satisfied, truly, truly satisfied in Jesus Christ? And as we think about Jesus as the King of glory, the last question I want to ask is, who or what is receiving your glory? Is all glory going to God? Or is there selfish, self-focused glory? Or is it glory in something else of this world? Because the Christmas reality changes everything. And this morning, at this interesting timing, I'm getting ready to speak on this today. I'm reading Paul David Tripp's book on Advent, Come Let Us Adore Him. And today, he said this about glory. Here is the movement of the Christmas story. Glory forsaken, that Jesus would come to earth. Glory liberated, our self-glory, getting rid of it. Glory restored, our living for the glory of God. The Son of Glory came to fight our glory battle, so that we would be freed from our bondage to any other glory but the glory of God. May your celebration today be bigger and deeper than awesome Christmas decorations, wonderful Christmas food, and cool Christmas gifts. May you glory in the real glory of this season. May you celebrate your glory liberation while you recognize your need for further freedom, and may you remember your Savior.
His humiliation is your liberation. And may you always be blown away by the stunning catalog of glories that have been showered down on you because of the amazing goodness of God and the humble willingness of Jesus. Wow. The humble willingness of Jesus, His humiliation, our liberation. That Jesus would come to this earth, take on flesh, and die for each and every one of us. As we close tonight, I couldn't help but think of, with this passage, the song, Angels We Have Heard on High. And in the third verse of this song, it says, "Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King." And the chorus, "Gloria in excelsis Deo." And many of you may be aware that's the Latin phrase for this, "Glory to God in the highest." This is the message that Jesus came to this earth and deserves all of our praise, all of our glory, because He truly is the King of glory. And we ought to respond in worship, in praise, and in sharing this message. Glorifying and praising God, sharing this message, just as the shepherds did upon hearing this. Let's pray together. Father, we come tonight, and we read what may seem like a familiar piece of scripture, may get referred to through this season as just the Christmas story. But Father, may we be ever in awe that You loved us so much that You sent Jesus to this world. May we never grow cold or tired or just talk about the story, but may we be in awe of the glory that You deserve. May we give You all the glory that You are so worthy of. May we read this over and over. May we spend time in Your word and prayer, praising You, and just forever being gripped by Your greatness and the humiliation that Jesus came and took on flesh and died for us. God, we thank You that the gospel began with Jesus coming as a baby to ultimately pay the price that each of us deserved. Father, help us to walk away tonight and for all days ahead changed and ever in awe of who You are. And it's in Jesus' great name we pray.